إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، إن شاء الله from today we will do a series on the various sicknesses of the heart and their cures. What is to be done for each of them, إن شاء الله. Today, إن شاء الله, I want to start with the worst of the sicknesses of the heart. The absolute number one sickness of the heart is kibr. It is arrogance. It is necessary to differentiate between confidence and arrogance. Sometimes people get confused. Confidence is a very positive emotion. Confidence takes into account the fact that the person is aware of his or her strengths. He is aware of their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and uses those things in a positive manner. Confidence concerns with yourself alone. There is no one else that is involved when you are being confident. So therefore, it is important to be confident, to be aware of our strengths and to use them for the good. And this is entirely beneficial. Arrogance is not concerned with yourself. Arrogance is concerned with the other. An arrogant person feels good when someone else feels bad. The arrogant person feels good in humiliating somebody or in attempting to humiliate somebody, because humiliation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and izzah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has not given the power to humiliate or the power to honor in the hands of people. So nobody can honor anybody and nobody can humiliate anybody. But you can attempt to do it. You can attempt to do it. For example, one of the most common ways in which people attempt to humiliate others is by treating them without respect. By either addressing them without respect when they speak to them, or by making them stand in their presence and not permitting them to have a seat, and so on, and different ways of expressing arrogance. The way you hold your head, for example, as you walk, the way you look through people, ignore people, deliberately pretend not to know somebody even though you know who the person is. All kinds of ways in which arrogant people behave. Rasulullah ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that a person with even a atom's weight of kibr in his heart will not enter Jannah. Allah said that that kibr is my cloak, and anyone who tries to take from it, I will destroy him. Rasulullah ﷺ said that if you make another person stand before you as a mark of your greatness, if you make a person stand before you to show your so-called status, then he said such a person will look for and find and search for and find his own place in Jahannam. He will find his own seat in Jahannam. So arrogance is a very, very evil thing. The reason I started with arrogance is because this is the most common thing that happens to people who become religious. The number one thing, the number one trap that shaitan sets for someone who becomes religious is that he makes him feel that he is better than somebody else. And that is the worst thing. And shaitan, of course, trips each person in his own in his own way. Shaitan does not take heed. Shaitan knows very well that somebody who has become religious will not do the things which are obviously haram. But more haram than the haram is arrogance. But it's not seen as one of those things which is haram. You don't actually, if I ask you to list a number of haram things, I'm sure you will list things that we eat and drink, or list things that we earn, sources that we earn from, and so on. But nobody will list, for example, arrogance as being haram. I don't know how many people will even list lying as haram. How many people will list slander and backbiting as haram. All of these are haram. They are as haram as eating pork or drinking alcohol. And in many ways, they are much worse than drinking alcohol and eating pork. Because if you eat pork, you are doing a haram thing, and that's an evil deed, but your good deeds are not going to anybody. Whereas if you are slandering people and if you are backbiting people, then not only are you eating the flesh of your dead brother, which is haram, but your good deeds are also going to the person who you were slandering. So we will come to that slander in another reminder. But today, I am saying that arrogance is one of those things which really, if we want to list, but because we have, you know, compartmentalized our minds, according to us, haram is not what Allah made haram. Haram is what we see as haram. So some people, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made gambling and eating pork and alcohol and drugs all equally haram, but we feel that gutka is all right and cigarettes are all right, and once in a while having a drink is okay, and gambling of course is a matter of our own personal prestige, so how can it be haram? But eating pork, oh astaghfirullah, how can we even say the word pork? This is our creation. This is our creation. Allah did not differentiate between these things. So arrogance is the haram of the haram. And therefore, as I said, this is what arrogance does. And where arrogance leads to is straight into the hellfire. And shaitan uses this as this master stroke and master weapon to cut down the person who has become religious. So imagine you were involved in various things. Like many of us, you know, in our youth and so on, where we are involved in all kinds of desires and shahwat and so forth, and we come out of that and we become religious and we say, oh mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from this terrible thing and I have now become religious. And the next thing you know, now you walk around and you hold your head as if there is a permanent bad smell under your nose, and you walk around, you know, thinking that you are the Shaykhul Haram, and you are making fatwa left, right and center, right, like, you know, Billy the Kid or something, you know, shooting from the hip, fatwa, shooting down various people, and pointing fingers and so forth. And all of this is a sign of arrogance, because now you start believing that you are better than other people, and your salah is better than them, and your appearance is better than them, and your following of the sunnah is better than them. How can somebody who is arrogant even claim to follow the sunnah? Because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not arrogant. So how can somebody who is arrogant, how can he even dream of saying that he is following the sunnah? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Just think about that. And this is what you do. And in a way of speaking, it was probably better for you to have remained in the disco and to have remained in the bar and to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you die. Allah would have given you the opportunity, inshallah. It would have been better for you to be there and not be arrogant and feel bad about yourself and say, well, you know, I'm involved in bad things and I hope Allah will forgive me. It was better for you to be in that situation than to come out of the bar and the disco and enter the masjid and sit there feeling arrogant. Because from this there is no escape. This leads straight into the pit. Much better to go back to the disco. Much better to go back to the bar and then spend your life there in the bar and in the disco. And making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, what a bad situation I am in, and may Allah save me, and so on and so forth. I am not telling you to go there, but I am saying that if this is where you are, if you are in a state of arrogance, then where you came from was a better place for you than where you have landed. Even though this is the masjid, but this masjid now has become a source, it has become a pit of Jahannam for you, because in this masjid you have become arrogant. Now, what is the cure for arrogance? Very simple. The cure for arrogance is to look in the mirror. The cure of arrogance is to look in the mirror. Go and take a full-length mirror. It doesn't work with a small mirror. You need a full-length mirror. So go and stand in front of a full-length mirror and look at yourself and say that I am looking at a container for feces and urine. Seriously. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am looking at the container of feces and urine. Imagine you go to a fine dining restaurant, right? And or you go to this fantastic buffet, and there is this beautiful biryani there, which has saffron in it, and it has the most beautiful, beautifully selected meat, and it has long basmati rice, And this is an absolutely fantastic dish. And along with that, the various condiments, and along with that, various other foods. As you enter this restaurant, as you enter this hall in which all this beautiful food is arrayed for you to eat, there is this beautiful aroma, the beautiful smell of wonderfully cooked food. But imagine from there, this food enters you. This good, beautifully smelling, beautifully looking food enters you. And when this food has passed through you, where does this food go? What does that food smell like? What does that food look like? That is who you are. You are the processor which takes beautiful food and converts it into something which is nasty smelling, something which is to be discarded, something which when you are finished with it, you wash. That is who you are. You are the processor which takes something good and converts it into something evil. You are a container of evil when you are alive, and you are the food for worms when you are dead. This is who you are. If you are wealthy, then you are somebody who, if you earn that wealth in the halal of the halal ways, 100% halal, without any doubt about the halal of this wealth, if you earn that wealth in that way, then you are going to spend a lot of time giving hisab for this wealth. That is what the wealth is. That wealth is a source of hisab for you, provided you earned it halal. And if that wealth was not earned in a halal way, if that wealth was earned in a haram way, then that wealth will become a source of azab for you. And believe me, no amount of fatawa from scholars for dollars will get you out of trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another big figment of the imagination. You say, oh, but I have a fatwa from so-and-so. That so-and-so gave you the fatwa because he is a so-and-so. He looked at you and he looked at what donation you give to him directly, and he gave you this fatwa. And you believe that now, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this so-and-so is going to stand and argue for you. That you accepted that, and you will both be in the same place. And may Allah protect us from that place. If you are feeling arrogant, stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself and tell yourself these things. Say to yourself these clear things. Beautiful clothes, how nice I look, but a day is going to come when I am going to be on a cold slab and somebody will be giving me ghusl, dumped into a pit in the ground, and they will throw mud on my face and they will go away. And this shama, and all of these accoutrement of wealth, that wealth most likely is going to become a source of conflict between your children. They will file suits on one another. This is what happens. This is the general trend. Where it does not happen, illa mashallah, is where parents have spent some time, is worthless, and then they will not fight. But otherwise, this is what happens in 99.99%. Do this. Stand in front of the mirror and say all of these things to yourself, because this is the reality. This is great, ever thought of himself as a great alim. May Allah protect us. But if you think you are a great alim because you went to this madrasa, stand in front of this mirror and look at yourself and say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this knowledge, take hisab for this. And if this knowledge led to any arrogance inside me, if this knowledge, I did not do the hujjah against me, this knowledge will become the witness against me on the day of judgment. That Quran, how much Quran do you know? So what happened to that? What? That is who you are. And that Quran, which you memorized, will become behind his back. The Nabi whose sunnah you were supposed to follow, will become the witness against you. Look at yourself in the mirror and say these three. These are realities. These are realities. You memorized the Quran. Did you understand? You are like a parrot. You are like a parrot. You memorized the Quran, but you did not bother. You did not bother even to read the translation of the Quran. That itself is inadequate, but even that inadequate work you did not bother to do. You were too busy. Yet, you had no problems with making this ruling on this person, that ruling on that person. If you're feeling arrogant, look in the mirror. And say all of this to yourself. And then make 2 rakat of salah. And make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from this most evil of sicknesses of the heart, which is arrogance, which is kibr. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah before it is too late. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this tawbah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.